Psalm 119, verses 9 through to 12, I want to leave with you as our text this morning. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. O, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord. Teach me thy statutes. We enter then into the second section of Psalm 119. I call it the bathroom of this 22-roomed house that we have been speaking about the past number of weeks. And each verse in it begins with the letter Beth, the second letter in the Hebrew alphabet. Now the name of the letter is Beth, and that means house. And we have two very famous places in the Bible that have this word, referred to very many times. Bethel, house of God, and Bethlehem, house of bread. You know that the Lord Jesus was born there. The story of Ruth took place there in Bethlehem. Also, this letter is used as a preposition to mean in. Because you think about being in the house. You go into the house. You abide in the house. House is different from a tent. A house is a more permanent residence. Something where you dwell and abide. And where you'll spend a lot of your time, in the house. And with that picture in mind of a house, let us look at verses 9 through to 12, through the lenses of three houses. There are three houses in our lives that are very important. There is our own house, the family house, the house where you live with your mom and dad and with your children, with the family, very important house in our lives. And then there is the house of our heart. Our heart is like a house. And we should think upon our heart and sometimes abide in our heart. See what's going on in there. So that we will be concerned about its purity. And then the third house that every child of God should be interested in is the house of God. The Lord's house, abiding in God's house. So with those three houses in mind, let us think upon our text. The family house, the house of our heart, and the house of God. The family house, first of all. The house, you see, has a family. And the family is the house. And in the family, there are children. And what's the great concern in any home? It's the children, isn't it? It's the youngsters in the house. It's the young boys and girls, the little ones. They're the major concern in any home, in any house. And you'll see that this section begins with a question concerning young people. A question about the young man in the house, the boy in the house. And this word, young man here, young boy, can refer to anything from a little newborn up until leaving teens, coming into 20. The boy in the house. And of course, by implication, the girl. The girl's not left out just because the young man is referred to. It's thinking of all the young people in the house. And this is the vital home question, isn't it? This is what parents are concerned about. This is what the young people should be concerned about in the home. Wherewithal shall the young cleanse their way? And so we have many boys and girls who are in families. And you have homes that have these children. And this is a question that you are concerned about. The major question in the family, isn't it, really? That house that is God-fearing, at least, ought to have a great concern for the young, that they may live pure lives, clean lives, cleansed lives. Wherewithal shall the young man cleanse his way? How shall he lead a pure life? How can the young be kept from sin? How can they be kept from the world? You see, they have to be kept from the world. The home is concerned about this. Christian parents desire that their children, above everything else, will have lives of purity. That's what your parents are mainly concerned about, boys and girls. That you will have a life of purity. This is a great question. In the home where you are loved, it is not wherewithal shall a young man get a trade, or wherewithal shall a young man get rich, or wherewithal shall a young man get the best education and become a great sports champion, or things like that. No, the great question in the Christian home is, where shall the young people keep their ways clean? How shall they be purified? This is a great concern. How they can keep their way pure. You see, there are so many that go astray into impurity and into wicked ways. And you know what happens when they're young very often. So youth is very important. And it's through the guidance of God's word, isn't it? The word of God has to correct the children. Because it says here, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. So they need their way corrected, young people. And it's done through the word. And it's easier early in life, isn't it? Before they get into adulthood and their ways are established and their ways are set and they're very hard to change. It's hard for old people to get saved. It's hard for old people to change. So it's best when they're young. Get them when they're young. And so in the home there is this great concern that the children be taught. You see, whenever a ship veers off course, if it is corrected early, the damage isn't too bad. It's easy to get back if it's corrected early. But if it's left late and it veers off more and more, it's nearly impossible to get the adjustment and the correction. Best early, when they're young. So correction begins in the home, and it begins early, and it begins through the word. So children have to get the word. Thy word, God's word. Have to get it in the church. They have to get it in the house, in their home, and they have to get it in Sabbath school. And it has to be the word that is used as a corrective, as a way to cleanse and purify their lives. Remember Solomon said, I discerned among the youths a young man void of understanding. He didn't have the privilege of being taught in the word. He didn't hear the word, or else he didn't heed the word. And he veered off, and he went into the house of the strange woman. And it was so destructive of him. He had no understanding because he didn't give heed to the word. Now, children, you have to heed the word. It is easier when you're young to do it. You listen to your mom and dad so easily when you're younger. And if they're correcting you in the word, it's easier for you to be led in pure ways when it happens at the start. So early, parents, your children are to be brought up in the word and corrected by the word. And the word is always to be brought to them. And you're to tell them and to show them how this is not in according to the word. You've gone off here and the word corrects you, it purifies you. And that's why, as I say, they send you to Sabbath school and bring you to church. So you're doing a good work, parents, by doing that. And you're doing a good work to Sabbath school teachers by doing that in the boys and girls, bringing the word to them. So keep at it. Keep at it. It's said of certain stone vessels that whatever first goes into the vessel, the molecules are that which are adhering to the stone side. The scent is there. the first entrance of that material, its molecules abide in the stone surround. And if you get the word into the children early at first, before the world gets its philosophy in, you get the word in, and the molecules of the word, however, maybe you don't see so much, but the molecules of the word are getting in there into the heart. And that scent will abide with them. And it'll be easier for them to return when they go off course, if that has been in early. So the home. And then we come secondly to the house of the human heart. You will observe that a word is repeated in verses 10 and 11. With my whole heart have I sought thee. And verse 11, thy word have I hid in mine heart. And the word heart is made up of two letters. And what do you think one of the letters is? It's Beth, the second letter of the word heart. Because the heart is like a house. And it has to be furnished. It's so important in us, this house of our heart. And the preposition in, it gives us the idea of in the heart. Thy word have I hid in my heart, like a house. With my heart, in a whole heart, as it literally is. In a whole heart have I sought thee. So our heart is like a house, and it's using these prepositions, in the heart. Our heart is a house that has to be guarded, you see. It has to be kept. A house that can be entered in and occupied by many things. You know, the devil can get into your heart. Imagine that. The devil getting into the heart of your house. Oh, what chaos. What darkness. What abominable things. You remember Judas? Satan entered into him. Into his heart. He got into his house. Oh, poor Judas. How could he let Satan in? How could he let that fiend in? And so you have to keep your heart. You don't want the devil in your heart. You don't want sin in your heart. You don't want to be occupied by anyone except the Lord. You want the Lord to dwell in your heart by faith. So the Bible talks about things that come out of the heart. And things that come into the heart. It can be an abode for evil. You remember the Lord Jesus said, whenever an unclean spirit has gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, he seeks rest, he doesn't find anyone. Then what did he say? I'll go back to my house again. That's what the unclean spirit said. I'll go back to my house again. He looked at that human heart as a house. And not only will I go back, I'll bring my friends back again. I bring all the evil spirits that I know. I bring them back into the house with me. The latter state of that man is worse than at the beginning. At the beginning, there's only one evil spirit. But at the end, he had many. If you let one in, a whole lot will come eventually. Oh, our heart. Keep your heart, the Bible says, with all diligence. Guard that house. Don't let anything get in. Bitterness and all of that. Now, what do we learn of the house of David's heart from our text here? Well, we learn that it's a searching heart, isn't it? Because he says there, with my whole heart have I sought thee. A heart is a desiring thing. A heart is something that desires, that wants. It wants, it sucks in things that it wants. Our heart should want the Lord. All my heart I've sought the Lord. He says, I want this whole house to be after the Lord, my whole heart. And is our heart given to seeking God? Seek him with all the heart, the Bible says. If thou seek him with all the heart, you'll find him. So this whole house should be given to seeking God. It's a searching heart. Our heart desires. What desires rule? What desires hold sway in this house of ours? Is it the Lord? Do I have a whole heart for the Lord? David has. He's a heart for God. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies, verse 2, and that seek him with the whole heart. There it is again. You know, a heart divided is a house heading to ruin. You know, a house divided, so a house is going to fall. And so it can't be divided about this matter. It has to be wholly given to the Lord with my whole heart. His is a singleness of heart you see here for the Saviour. His is a praying heart, a united heart. And what prayer echoes and resounds throughout that house? Well, hear it. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Don't let me be a wanderer, Lord, from the word. That's what his heart's crying out. You see, whenever one wanders, he's not abiding in the house. If you're wandering about out there, you're not abiding, you're not in. And you're not to wander from the commandments, but you're to be in them, in the word, as we were saying to the boys and girls. This is the second specific prayer of David in this psalm. Don't let me wander, Lord, from thy commandments. To wander from the commandments, of course, is to wander from God himself. The thing is, that's a thing our heart is very efficient in, wandering. We talk about wandering thoughts, and our heart is a wandering heart, sadly. Straying from the word and the will of God, turning aside into ways of crookedness, leaving the paths of understanding, erring from the Lord. So that's why we have to seek him and to pray, Lord, don't let me be a wanderer. Keep this heart. Our hearts often leave the Lord and go after idols. That's the sad thing, that the Bible tells us so much about Israel. That was the way their heart was. David knew the history of Israel. He knows the history of his own experience. And so this heart is giving out a prayer. Don't let me be a wanderer, Lord. He knows what befalls the erring. You see, he knows what happens to the wanderers. Thou hast rebuked the proud that do err from thy commandments, he says in verse 21. Thou hast trodden down all them that err, that wander from thy statutes. The wanderer ends up getting hurt. The wanderer ends up being judged. David says, don't let me be a wanderer. So that ought to be the cry of our heart. Don't let me err. But of course, it's not enough just to pray, don't let me err, don't let me wander. We have to do something practical besides, don't we? We have to pray, Lord, don't let me wander, but we also have to put feet to our prayers and do something practical. David goes on to say, thy word have I hid in my heart. So he's doing something practical as well. And this is the second thing about the heart of his house. It's a sensitive heart, because he's sensitive to God. He doesn't want to sin against God. I don't want to wander, because if I do, I'll sin against thee. So he has a heart that doesn't want to sin against God. That's a good heart. The wicked don't have that heart. The wicked don't think about sinning against God. They don't really care too much. But the child of God, he has something of the fear of God in him. And he has a sensitivity, varying degrees of sensitivity amongst God's people. But all of us should be very sensitive to this matter. Don't want to sin against God. Don't want this house of mine to be a house that's in rebellion against God. He has a God-fearing heart. You remember, Joseph had such a heart. How can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? That was the heart of Joseph. Now, it's possible to be kept from sinning against God by outward restraints and by shame. The outward restraints, and that's not a bad thing to have outward restraints that keep us from sinning against God. The idea of shame is a very biblical one, and it should keep us right in many ways. But it is possible to be kept from sinning against God by outward restraints only, whenever people are watching us. But whenever people are not watching us, whenever we're on our own, is this house crying out, Does it have a sensitivity to God? That I might not sin against thee. David's house is like that. He has this conscientious heart. Whether men are watching or not, is that principle within us? David has it. But he wants it to be stronger and stronger. He wants it to be the dominating principle. And so he has a securing heart as well, that it may be the dominating principle. Thy word have I hid in my heart. So this is something about the heart of his house. He secures the word in it. He buries the word in the house. You remember Achan. He found all the treasures and the goodly Babylonian garments and all the rest. And he got them into his house and he hid them in his tent. God wants us to do that with his word. Thy word have I hid in mine heart. The heart of my house. He's filled his house with something. It is the word of God. He's packed it with divine truth so that it will help him in this battle not to sin against God. To do this is labor and work and effort. I mean, Achan had to carry the goods in and he had to dig the hole and he had to make a bit of an effort. And, you know, his whole family knew what he was at, you see. Your family really know you, and they know what he was at, because they saw him digging this here, and that's why they were judged as well. Hide the word in our hearts, and dig it into our hearts, our family will know. It's something that will become visible. But whenever God's word is in your heart, none of your feet will slide. It'll establish you, it'll strengthen you. It's the only safe ground. We spoke to the boys and girls about going into the house of the word. But we have to also bring the word into the house of our heart. It's the only way to be preserved. It's the only thing that keeps us. It's the only thing that protects us from erring against the Lord. The word is so important. It's a defense. It's a shield. It's a sword, a weapon of protection. Remember how the Savior taught us about the sowing of the seed and the good ground. There were some characteristics about the good ground that were helpful to the word. The main thing is that the word went in. It went into the ground. It had some depth. It was brought in. And there couldn't be plucked out, you see, by the birds. And it couldn't be affected by other things because it was deep within. And if the word gets into us, it won't be snatched away by the devil. We hide it in our hearts. If we bury it within, it won't. Trials and adversities and temptations won't be able to pull it out. It'll be able to withstand all of that if it's deep in the house. And it'll eventually also come out of your house and people will see it in your life. But it has to come out of your heart. We can't have just a showy religion, a Pharisee religion that's just, you know, a nice clean suit on us. No, it has to come out of our heart. Sincerity and uprightness that is evident as coming from within. Thy word have I hid in my heart. Eliphaz wisely said to Job, receive, I pray thee, the law from his mouth, and lay up his words in thine heart. Now Eliphaz, he had a misjudged opinion of Job, but he had a grasp of the truth as far as the principles of righteousness and God's word was concerned. Remember Jeremiah, thy words were found and I did eat them. He got them in. Remember Mary? Mary looked after the heart. Remember how the Bible says she kept all these things in her heart? She pondered them in her heart. She kept all these sayings in her heart. A couple of times it says that. Mary did this, which was why she was such a pious young girl. She would fit into that description there in verse 9 of the young man. She had a clean way. She had a clean way even before the Lord chose her to be the mother of the Lord. And she maintained that because you see the kind of heart she had. She was collecting good things in her heart, good sayings, the words of God and the sayings about her child. The message the angel brought her, the message the shepherds brought her, the message the wise men from the east brought her, and the things the Lord Jesus said to her. She just kept them all in her heart. So she's a good example of this. It takes effort, boys and girls, have to listen to the lessons well in school and in church. Hide it in our hearts. It means reading. It means hearing the word. It means meditating on the word. It means believing the word, receiving the word. It means understanding the word, memorizing the word, reflecting upon the word, repeating the word. So it's a lot of work. But keep at it. Because you're making your heart to be well furnished for the Lord. So the house of the saint's heart, that's the place then. And the word, you see, it has a sin expelling power, doesn't it, about it? It's like a guard in the house shouting, "It is written, it is written. Can't do that, it is written. You mustn't go down that way, it is written. If it's in there, this is the echo that comes out at times, it is written." It's not what happened to the Lord Jesus Christ. Satan came. But he had hid the word in his heart. And Satan comes with this temptation. He comes with the other temptation. And there's this echo coming out of his heart. It is written. It is written. He didn't have his Bible. He didn't open up the scriptures. It was in here. It is written. Child of God, if the word gets into your heart, whenever the temptation comes, whenever the trial comes, you'll hear this echo coming from without the house. And the Holy Spirit will make it to echo. If you've been laboring in the Word, getting it into your heart, the Holy Spirit's echo will come out to you. It is written. It is written. And so you'll be an overcomer if you furnish your house with the Word. Satan hasn't a chance then. If the Word is in there, "I have written to you," John said, "young man, because you are strong, and the word of God abides in you, dwells in you, it lives in you. Your heart is like a house, and the word is in you. And that's why you're strong, and that's why you've overcome the wicked one." Then lastly, the third house is God's house. The Lord's holy name here occurs in verse 12. "Blessed art thou, O Lord. Teach me thy statutes." This is the second time that the psalmist uses the word Lord. He places God's name in strategic places, not using it in vain, but carefully arranging its use. And this is the second use of it, although he's been talking to the Lord near the whole time. But he brings in the name here, and he brings in a blessed here, because this is the language in God's house. You're getting close to the Lord when you come into his house. You're before the Lord when you come into his house, and you're conscious of the name and you're conscious of the presence. And in the house, what do? You bless the Lord. This is the language of the house of God. This is the language of the priests. This is the language of the saints when they come to God's house. "Blessed art thou, O Lord. Teach me thy statutes." This is house of God language particularly. The name makes us think of that, because one sits within. And the blessed is like a refrain that is used in the praises of God in the temple. As we bless the Lord, "Blessed are they that dwell in thy house." They will still be praising thee. You see, in God's house, we are two things. We are praisers of God. "Blessed art thou, O Lord." And we are pupils of the Lord in his house. "Teach me thy statutes." You see, a teaching place is a house. The school is a house. God's house is a school. It's a temple too, where we praise him, but it's also a school wherein we are instructed. And in God's house we bless him. "Bless ye the Lord," the Bible says, "all ye servants of the Lord, which by night stand in the house of the Lord." What's the thing that characterizes the servants of the Lord? In the house of the Lord, the priests, what was the thing that characterized them? They were the ones who give the blessing. They give the blessing to the people and praying for them, but they also give the blessing to God in praising Him. And so we bless Him in His house. So we come here to praise Him and to worship Him, dwelling in His house. And then God's house is a place that we can ask and expect from Him teaching. We don't only bless Him in the house of God, but in the same breath wherewith we bless Him, we also beseech Him. And so there's prayer in the house of God, and particularly for this mercy. And it is for this mercy that we come to the house of God every meeting. Teach me, Lord. Teach me Thy statutes. And this is the order in God's house, brethren and sisters. Blessing and teaching. Praising God. And reminding ourselves we are to listen to God as well. Giving our voice to Him of praise, but also spending time to give Him our ear, that we may listen to His instruction. That's the order. Blessing Him and then looking to Him to teach us. You don't just ask God to teach you. You must first bless Him. Do you want to be instructed well in God's house? Then you must bless God much. And the more you bless God much, the more you will be instructed as well. One thing have I desired of the Lord, the psalmist said. That will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. All the days. To behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. It's a blessed house. Blessed are they that dwell in His house. It's not a place you want to wander from. We've come across this word wander in verse 10. Wandering from the word. You don't want to wander from God's house either, because wandering from God's house will be wandering from the word. It'll be wandering from the place where you get the instruction. Now, of course, we get instruction when we study the Bibles for ourselves. But God's house is particularly the place where He has raised up teachers and instructors and given them some gift and ability and His Holy Spirit also, that they may feed and teach the flock of God. So the house of God is very important for you as God's flock. And you're to be fed in the Word. And as I say, it's not a house that you want to wander from.